Hare Krishna. So, we're reading from Krishna book, which is the second part, volume 2, entitled Delivering of the Message of Krishna to the Gopis. And this is particularly relevant because very near Barsana, just below Barsana, there's one Kund. I think it's a Kund. And that is where Uddhava...
Correct. That's near Nandagram.
Oh, yeah, near Nandagram. Uddhava came there to deliver the message from Lord Krishna, who at that time was residing in Mathura, the message to the gopis. And you can understand that the gopis and Krishna, the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani were suffering extreme states of separation. This separation was personified in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the personification of the mood of separation of Srimati Radharani. And this feelings of separation are actually inconceivable to the mundane mind, but transcendentally, they are the most intense manifestations of transcendental love for Krishna. And when Uddhava came, one can just understand because Uddhava actually looked very similar to Krishna. And he's also delivering a message from Krishna. So that particular mood of feeling of the gopis is actually the highest personification of loving feeling to Krishna. When the gopis saw Uddhava, they observed that his features almost exactly resembled the features of Krishna. And they could understand that he was a great devotee of Krishna's. His hands were very long, and his arms were just like the petals of the lotus flower. He was dressed in yellow-colored garments and wore a garland of lotus flowers. His face was very beautiful, having achieved the liberation of Svarupya, and having the same bodily features as the Lord, Uddhava, looked almost like Krishna. In Krishna's absence, the gopis had been coming dutifully to visit Mother Yashoda's house early in the morning. They knew that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were always grief-stricken, and they had made it their first duty to come and pay their respects to the most exalted elderly personalities of Vrindavan. Seeing the friends of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda would remember Krishna himself and be satisfied. And the gopis also would be pleased by seeing Nanda and Yashoda. When the gopis saw that Uddhava was representing Krishna, even in his bodily features, they thought that he must be a soul completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They began to contemplate, who is this boy who looks just like Krishna? He has the same eyes like lotus petals, the same raised nose and beautiful face, and he is smiling in the same way. In all respects, he is resembling Krishna, Shyam Sundar, the beautiful dark boy. He is even dressed exactly like Krishna. Where has this boy come from? Who is the fortunate girl who has him for her husband? Thus they talked amongst themselves. They were very anxious to know about him, and because they were simple, unsophisticated village girls, they surrounded Uddhava. When the gopis understood that Uddhava had a message from Krishna, they became very happy and called him to a secluded place to sit down. They wanted to talk with him very freely and did not want to be embarrassed before unknown persons. They began to welcome him with polite words in great submissiveness. We know that you are a most confidential associate of Krishna and that he has therefore sent you to Vrindavan to give solace to his father and mother. We can understand that family affection is very strong. Even great sages who have taken to the renounced order of life cannot give up family members. Krishna has therefore sent you to his father and mother. Otherwise, he has no further business in Vrindavan. He is now in town. What does he have to know about Vrindavan village or the cows, pasturing grounds? These things are not at all useful for Krishna because he is now a man in the city. Surely, he has nothing to do with persons who do not happen to be his family members. Why should one bother about those who are outside the family? Especially and specifically those who are attached as the wives of others. Krishna is interested in them as long as there is a need of gratification. Like the bumblebees who have interest in the flowers as long as they want to take the honey out of them. It is very natural and psychological that a prostitute does not care for her paramour as soon as he loses his money. Similarly, when the citizens find that a government is incapable of giving them full protection, they leave the country. A student, after finishing his education, gives up his relationship with the teacher in school. A rich man, after taking his reward from his worshipper, gives him up. When the fruit season is over, the birds are no longer interested in the tree. Just after eating in the house of a lord, the guest gives up his relationship with the host. After a forest fire, when there is scarcity of green grass, the deer and other animals give up the forest. And so a man, after enjoying his girlfriend, gives up his connection with her. In this way, all the gopis began to indirectly accuse Krishna by citing so many samals. Uddhava understood that the gopis of Vrindavan were all simply absorbed in the thought of Krishna and his childhood activities. While talking about Krishna with Uddhava, they forgot all about their household business. They even forgot about themselves as their interest in Krishna increased more and more. One of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee which was flying there and trying to touch her lotus feet. While another gopi was talking with Krishna's messenger, Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took that bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna and began to talk with it as follows. Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from the flowers and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna who is of the same nature as you. I have seen on your mustaches the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the flower garland of Krishna while he was pressing the breast of some other girl who is my competitor. You are feeling very proud of touching that flower, and your mustaches have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me. You are anxious to touch my feet, but my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't touch me. I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. It may be that Srimati Radharani purposely addressed the bumblebee sarcastically in order to criticize the messenger, Uddhava. Indirectly, Srimati Radharani saw Uddhava as not only resembling Krishna's bodily features, but as being equal to Krishna. In this way, she indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. Srimati Radharani wanted to give specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messengers. She addressed the bumblebee, "Your master, Krishna, is exactly of your quality. You sit down on a flower, and after taking a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit in another flower and taste. You're just like your master, Krishna. He gave us the chance of tasting the touch of his lips and then left altogether. I know also that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is always in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know why she has become so captivated by Krishna. She is attached to him, although she knows his actual character. As far as we are concerned, we are more intelligent than the goddess of fortune. We are not going to be cheated anymore by Krishna or his messengers." According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnu Murti, so his pleasure potency, Radharani, also has innumerable expansions of goddess of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. Srimati Radharani continued, "You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna. But it is a useless attempt. We are bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you make up about him will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. He now has many new girlfriends, and they are no doubt very happy in association with him, because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna. They are now happy. If you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer, and therefore you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick which you are trying to play. I know that you are a messenger coming from a great trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me. I can understand that you are very, very expert in reuniting two opposing parties. But at the same time, you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you, nor upon your master, Krishna. We left our families, husbands, children, and relatives only for Krishna. And yet he did not feel any obligation in exchange. He has left us for lost. Do you think we can place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot be long without the association of young women. That is his nature. He is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village amongst innocent cowherd girls. He is in the aristocratic society and must be feeling difficulty in making friendships with the young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there. But why should Krishna expect us to go there? He is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. His wonderful enchanting smile is so attractive, and the movement of his eyebrows so beautiful, that he can call for any woman from the heavenly, middle, or platonic planets. Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortune, also hankers to render him some service. In comparison to all these women of the universe, what are we? We are very insignificant. Krishna advertised himself as very magnanimous, and he is praised by great saints. His qualifications could be perfectly utilized if he would only show us mercy, because we are downtrodden and neglected by him. You poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna, how ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life, but in his previous lives also. We have all heard this from our grandmother, Purnamasi. She has informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Bali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a Kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place and then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra, as a Kshatriya, should have fought with Bali face to face, but instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. Thus he has deviated from the religious principles of a Kshatriya. Also, he was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that he converted Shurpanakha, the sister of Ravana, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Shurpanakha proposed an intimate relationship with him, and as a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her. But he was so selfish. Am I pronouncing that right? Shurpanakha? Shurpanakha. But he was so selfish that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Shurpanakha into an ugly woman. Before that birth, as a Kshatriya, he took his birth as a Brahmin boy known as Vamanadeva, and he asked charity from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had. Yet Krishna, as Vamanadeva, ungratefully arrested him, just like a crow, and pushed him down to the Patala kingdom. We all know about Krishna and how ungrateful he is. But here is the difficulty. In spite of his being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. Not only are we unable to give up this talk, but great sages and saintly persons are also engaged in talking about him. We gopis of Vrindavan do not want to make any more friendship with this blackish boy, but we do not know how we should be able to give up remembering and talking about his activities. Since Krishna is absolute, his so-called unkind activities are as relishable as his kind activities. Saintly persons and great devotees like the gopis cannot give up Krishna in any circumstances. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed, "Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet. Whatever you like, you may make me broken-hearted by not letting me see you throughout my whole life, but you are my only object of love." So this is very important when we're walking around the Padyatra, that there may be some suffering. So that suffering is actually more cause to remember Krishna, because the body is the field of activity. So we can understand that this field of activity can be utilized in two ways. One, we can utilize it to serve Krishna, or the other, we can utilize that field of activity to try and enjoy separately, independently, to lord it over the material world. So a devotee, just like here, we have the example that it is very, very difficult to understand the mood of the gopis. Actually, it's inconceivable. Their love for Krishna is the highest possible manifestation of love within the spiritual realm. What to speak of this lusty activities in the material world, there's no comparison. So we cannot discuss that, but at least we can understand that no matter how much Krishna hurt the gopis and Srimati Radharani, and actually this hurt, the hurt of separation from Krishna, is actually the greatest type of suffering one cannot imagine. Just like we see in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he would simply rub his head against the rock, even bleeding also, bang his head against the wall with this intensity of complete feeling of separation from Krishna. Where are you now? And this is the price of becoming fully Krishna conscious. Now one should be intense. There should be the intensity of desire to actually see Krishna. So when we are suffering, it's a very good time to understand that this body is the core. Actually, this body is simply a manifestation of our ignorance of Krishna. That is all the body is. In conclusion, it is simply a manifestation of ignorance. So therefore, when this body is giving us some inconvenience, that is very nice. Actually, we see in the example of all great devotees where they are actually praying. Just like I think Kunti, prayers of Queen Kunti, that she is simply praying that you put me in these difficulties again and again, because by these difficulties I can become more and more intense to understand that you are my only shelter. So when a devotee becomes in extreme difficulty, then on one hand he understands that the body is very miserable, so he can understand that this body is a cause of great suffering. That's the only thing that the body actually does, is it continually harasses the living entity. There is a great feeling of embarrassment between the soul and the body, actually because of the incompatible nature. The body is not compatible to the consciousness of the living entity. And this incompatible nature is there because we see that there is no reciprocation. Body does not reciprocate, and neither does the material energy reciprocate with the consciousness of the living entity. So this is the difference between Vaikuntha and Kunta. Kunta means where there is always anxiety, and Vaikuntha means where there is no anxiety. But here we see another type of anxiety, and that is the transcendental anxiety of attachment from Krishna. And one should not identify this type of anxiety with that type of anxiety, because this type of anxiety is on account of the intense love. This feelings of love, of course, they are cannot be understood materially. There is no comparison. But Krishna, who had been living in Vrindavan and regularly sporting with the gopis and the cowherd boys, all of a sudden just got up and left, leaving the gopis and Srimati Radharani and Nanda and Yashoda in great feelings of intense suffering. These day and night they were simply shedding tears as to when again they would be able to see Krishna. So Krishna actually never left Vrindavan. Krishna is always in Vrindavan. He never leaves. And he is there, just like we see Uddhava appeared, and immediately, even at that time, the gopis were coming to see Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj in Nandagram, and they were coming every day in the morning just to simply pacify Nanda and Yashoda, and also by seeing Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they would immediately go into intense feelings of separation for Krishna. So here we have this example which can be taken both ways. One way, the example is that we should also, just like Prabhupada said, we should be like the chikori. I think chikori bird? Chikor. This chikor bird, he only takes his water from the clouds. He will not go anywhere else for his water. And even when there is great thunder and lightning, like last night, we had intense thunder and lightning, still, he will go up to the clouds to get his water. And Srila Prabhupada says, he does not know any other source of water. So in the same way, a devotee might be punished, might have to suffer, might have to feel so much inconvenience in the service of Krishna. But he should see this, just like one time Prabhupada was very sick in Bari Place. He was so sick he collapsed on the floor. And so when Prabhupada became better, we were on a morning walk. And we said to Srila Prabhupada, one devotee said to Prabhupada, how is it that the pure devotee, even the pure devotee, he also has to suffer some difficulty in the material world? So then Prabhupada stopped. I was standing right next to him, I remember this. He looked, and he had a look on him, just like a resident of Vrindavan. And he said, yes. He said, what is this when sometimes the boy bites the girl? And we all said, oh, you mean love bite? And Prabhupada said, yes. This is Krishna's love bite. So, therefore, we can understand that in executing devotional service, there may be so much inconvenience, so much different type of misery. One may have big thorns in his feet, blisters, aching and pain. But actually, this is all a great source of impetus. How to become more and more attached to Krishna and become more and more detached from the material world. Of course, once you become more attached to Braja, so one should not feel that he's in the material world, but still, the body has to suffer little inconvenience. But somehow or other, let me always try and remember Krishna. So Srimati Radharani continued to speak to the black messenger of Krishna. Please, do not talk any more about Krishna. It is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed, like the black spotted she-deer in the forest, who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way, we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna. And again and again, we are thinking of the rays of the nails of his toes. We are becoming more and more lustful for his association. Therefore, I request you not to talk of Krishna anymore. This talk of Srimati Radharani with the bumblebee messenger and her accusing Krishna and at the same time her inability to give up talking about him are symptoms of the topmost transcendental ecstasy called Mahabhava. The ecstatic Mahabhava manifestation is possible only in the persons of Radharani and her associates. Great acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have analyzed these Mahabhava speeches of Srimati Radharani and have described the different sentiments such as ughurna, bewilderment, jalpa, talking in different ways. In Radharani is found the science of ujjala, or the highest jewel of love of God. When Radharani was talking with the bee, and the bee was flying hither and thither, it all of a sudden disappeared from her sight. She was in full mourning due to separation from Krishna and was feeling ecstasy by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad, thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna to inform him all about her talking with him. Krishna must have been very sorry to hear it, she thought. In this way, she was very much overwhelmed with another type of ecstasy. In the meantime, the bee, flying hither and thither, appeared before her again, and she thought, Krishna is still kind to me. In spite of the messenger carrying disruptive messages, he is so kind that he has again sent the bee to take me to him. Srimati Radharani was very careful this time not to say anything against Krishna. My dear friend, I welcome you, she said. Krishna is so kind, and he has again sent you. Krishna is so kind and affectionate to me, and he has sent you back. Fortunately, in spite of your carrying my message against him, my dear friend, you can ask from me whatever you want. I shall give you anything because you are so kind upon me. You have come to take me to Krishna because he is not able to come here. He is surrounded by new girlfriends in Mathura. But you are a tiny creature. How can you take me there? How will you be able to help me in meeting Krishna while he is taking rest there along with the goddess of fortune and embracing her to his chest? Never mind. Let us forget all these things about my going there or sending you. Please let me know how Krishna is faring in Mathura. Tell me if he still remembers his foster father, Nanda Maharaj, his affectionate mother, Yashoda, his coward friends, and his poor friends like us, the gopis. I am sure that he must sometimes sing about us. We served him just like maidservants, without any payment. Is there any possibility that Krishna will again come back and place his arms around us? His limbs are always fragrant with the aguru scent. Please put all these inquiries to Krishna. Anyway, we are extremely fortunate to be reading about Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is the great benediction by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And one cannot estimate the actual benediction of even coming to Vrindavan. what to speak of walking in the same footsteps as Krishna, sitting where Krishna has sat with Srimati Radharani, enjoying the beautiful scenery of Vrindavan. So, this is also, we see that Uddhava is carrying the message of Krishna to the gopis. So in another way we can see that we must be also feeling obliged to carry the message of Krishna to all the poor, unfortunate, conditioned souls who are rotting away in the Devi Maya, the kingdom of Maya. Devotee, because of his strong feelings, actually Prabhupada says that one cannot be mechanical, that one mechanically tries to push on Krishna consciousness, but one should feel some feelings. And this ruchi, or taste, on account of this taste for Krishna consciousness, then one should be very eager to actually broadcast these transcendental messages all over the world, so that many, many unfortunate living entities can become very fortunate. And therefore they can also come to Brajmandala Dham and also experience the transcendental nectar of Krishna consciousness. So devotees, they always feel a great weight because they carry the weight of their Guru Maharaj. Because the great devotees, the Mahajans, the Paramahansa devotees, they are always 24 hours a day absorbed in the transcendental mellows and feelings of Krishna consciousness. But they have one pain. Prabhupada always said that the pure devotee, he has one pain. And that pain is that he's always thinking how he can give Krishna to other living entities. Just like one time Gurudas, he was with Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes when I think of how unfortunate the fallen conditioned souls are, he said, sometimes I feel like crying. And Prabhupada turned around and he said, sometimes? Only sometimes you are feeling? What is this? He said, 24 hours a day we must be feeling like this. So that is the mood of a devotee. Not that we drink all the honey for ourselves. We should not be like the greedy bee who eats only the honey. But one has to take the honey and go and distribute that honey everywhere. So that should be the feeling. We can all actually become messengers of Krishna. Just like Uddhava. Uddhava was getting great benefit from bringing the message of Krishna. He was giving benefit to the gopis, and he himself was getting great benefit. So in the same way, we also can become messenger of Krishna. And Krishna will give us the ability to speak about his transcendental pastimes, and this will attract the hearts and minds of all living entities. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, my only qualification is I never changed anything. I repeated the message as I had heard it from my Guru Maharaj. So in the same way, these wonderful messages of Krishna consciousness are there, and now we can see here in the Dham, it is there visually and also in oral reception. So a devotee should feel very enthusiastic to try to give this nectar to the unfortunate living entities who are also feeling actually incredible pangs of separation. Actually, the suffering in the material world is on account of separation from Krishna. Although not consciously, it's unconscious. There is also unconscious separation that we are all suffering on account of being unconscious of Krishna. Just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada would say, there is only one ingredient missing in the material world, and that is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, everything else is there. And so, that separation is on account of ignorance. So gopis were feeling another type of separation. Our separation is ignorance. And therefore, the only way we can remove the ignorance is by hearing and chanting about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, as we hear in the Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And in this way, this will actually pacify the soul. This will give great solace to the soul, to the consciousness. And it will elevate one to this platform of pure, unadulterated love for Krishna. And then one can have the true feelings of bhava. Can you stop? Don't ask any questions. Not about Vrindavan Leela. You can ask anything else. Does anyone have any comment? Questions? Answers? Complaints? Speak now. You have a complaint?
We don't want that you should ask some questions, so I will only comment that even after long hearing, long chanting, if our ignorance is not destroyed, it means that there are some offenses being committed, and that is why after long exercise of devotional service, the ignorance is not removed. So there must be some offense, and this should be discussed.
Actually, we've just been studying Harinam Chintamani in Vrindavan in the study course. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Srila Haridas Thakur the same point. How is it that someone is chanting? Of course, we understand that even once chanting the holy name of Krishna, that Krishna is there, Krishna is non-different from his name. So actually, Vrindavan is also there in the name. Krishna is there in the name, Vrindavan. All the qualities, 64 qualities of Krishna, they are also manifested there in the name. The name itself is absolute. So absolutely no difference. So how is it that even someone is chanting and chanting, but he's not developing any taste? There's no melting. It says in the Bhagavatam that if one, upon hearing the transcendental glories of Krishna, hearing the message of Krishna, if his hair does not stand on end, and his body does not shiver, and the tears do not flow like torrents from his eyes, not exactly, but these words are used, the tears do not flow, then it should be understood that his heart is like steel frame. One who has steel frame on the heart. So, this steel or hard-hearted, this is on account of Namabhas. This is actually in the, of course, namaparat, sorry, not namaparat. Namabhas is clearing, namaparat. So when there is some aparat, or when there is some offense against the holy name, and particularly this one offense which Srila Haridas Thakur emphasizes, apart from sadhu ninda, which is offense against the Vaishnava, pure devotee, but one offense which goes into nice detail, and it's just like if you're when you read it, it's like you're talking to another devotee, because he explains how this inattentiveness, one who is inattentive when there is not concentration of the mind on the holy name. In other words, when there is, due to different reasons, there may be so many inattentive means laziness, sluggishness. Too many worldly things within the heart, thinking about money, business, women, this thing, that thing. And also, when there is anatta in the heart, too many unwanted things. So he explains that one has to become very, very attentive. And here I think there's also some cave, little underneath, you can have cellar rooms. Where the Vaishnava, also in Puri, in the house, I think, of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but there is actually, what the Vaishnavas would do, they would have these rooms on the ground, And they would go and sit in there and chant the holy name very attentively, without any disturbance. Even Haridas Thakur says that one should go in a room and lock the door. And he says that one should put cover over his eyes. And one should chant very loudly and very attentively. So the reason that the dirty things from within the heart are not being removed, because these are the things that are stopping us actually experiencing Krishna consciousness. It is all the dirty accumulated things from many, many lifetimes. Just like Prabhupada said, when you pull the plug from the fan continues going. So this fan is still going. This material consciousness is still there and manifesting when we are chanting. We see that particularly, if anyone noticed, whenever you start to do your rounds, you start to think of a million things. Before you start chanting, you're not thinking of anything. And then suddenly you're chanting your rounds, you see devotees, you know, they're chanting and they stop. Oh yeah, good idea. Oh, they're writing down notes. Or they're thinking about what they're going to do today. What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do next week, next year? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Will I do this? Will I do that? You know, so as soon as we start chanting, immediately thousands of millions of things come into our mind. That is why this becomes namabhas means clearing. This clearing stage, we have to clear these things from the heart, from the mind. And in our lives also, we have to, this is why, obviously, one has to live a very simple life. Because if one has complicated life, then his life becomes too much complicated by over-endeavor for things that are not really necessary. And then the mind becomes filled up with all sorts of rubbish. And then the heart is also becomes full of material desires, rajagun, tamagun. So simply, the only way in Kali Yuga that one can actually get rid of all these things and make very fast, rapid progress is by very, very attentively and submissively feeling oneself very humble, more tolerant than its tree, that one can chant the name with great feeling. This feeling, Prabhupada describes, one should be crying like a little baby for its mother. Prabhupada said, if you want to try to understand the intensity of the feeling, then it is just like the little baby. If you can imagine, sometimes the child loses the mother. I don't know if you've ever seen. I've seen sometimes when you're going around shopping and some child has become separated from the mother. The intensity of that crying is incredible. The child's oblivious to everything. Totally oblivious. Only it wants the mother. So in the same way, that is the mood, which of course is personified in the mood of the gopis, but they had no other reason for living. Their only reason for living was simply to please Krishna. And here we see that Srimata Radharani, even when the bumblebee had gone, she thought, oh no, now I will have caused distress to Krishna, that this bumblebee will bring him all sorts of negative messages, and look what I have done. So when the bumblebee came back, she was in complete ecstasy, that Krishna has not taken badly what I have said. So these moods, they are, of course, they're not conceivable by mundane appreciation, but by simply getting little taste, then we can understand something. Making progress, Prabhupada says, by how much he is attached to Krishna. Simple. And how much we're in Maya, how much detached from Krishna. Simple yardstick. How much we're becoming attached? Because just like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even if you follow all the process of sadhana and all the process of devotional service, but if you're not getting feeling, if you're not becoming attached to Krishna, the holy name, then actually it is all, and this is his words, simply useless waste of time. Although we know it's not a waste of time, but the goal must be there, that one has to become, the goal is to become attached to Krishna. And therefore, one should then look and think to himself, well, something is going wrong. And that is very important, that a devotee has to do that he has to actually try and study, because spiritual life is not a mechanical. Just like Satsrup Maharaj was saying in the class, he used to type for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada one time said to him, he said, it is not a mechanical thing. This, he said, if you, what was the exact words? He said that if you want to love me, then I will love you. So he was explaining that we do the service out of love. And it's not just that, you know, because his job was to just sit there all day, type. But there must be feeling. So that feeling is actually what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's not external. There may be so many mechanical things going on externally. But it's the internal feeling that we do these things. Therefore Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Tayam. Even if one offers a flower, if he has feeling, then immediately he develops love of God. One flower. But you can offer millions of things if you have no love. Okay. Anyway, I'll go on. I could talk all day sometimes. Stop.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
God!
Vande aham Sri Gurava Sri Yutapada Kamala Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishathan Vitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanusate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Hishakripa Sindhubhye Vajapati Dhanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namonama Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Iva Kevalam Kalo Nasteiva, 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 Vadiranyata Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namah Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanavade Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shrinyavani Vashyata Deshikare Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedanta Srivasti Gaurabhakta
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare As it is, the occasion is very auspicious. And as the whole occasion is taking place, is situated here in Barsana, that makes it more auspicious. And to make it more auspicious, we would like to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That there will be all auspiciousness for today's chapter. Read from Adi Leela chapter 9, chapter 32 onwards. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Text 32, I'll just read the English translation. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all others. Although the tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. All parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus, as they grow up, they spread all over the world. This is talk of Chaitanya tree. I am the only gardener, the speaker here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. This is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree. And thus, there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and disease. If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. One who has taken his birth as human being in land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all people. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. By his work, thoughts, words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and in the next. I am merely a gardener. I have neither a kingdom nor very great riches. I simply have some fruits and flowers that I wish to utilize to achieve piety in my life. Although I am acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree, for thus I can bestow benefit upon all. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of a great personalities. For everyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. is a comment of Krishnadas Kaviraj. The fruit of love of God is so tasteful that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately becomes intoxicated. The fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, feeling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically he chants, dances, laughs and enjoys. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats this fruit, and as a result he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. With his sankirtan movement, Lord made everyone mad like himself. We do not find anyone who was not intoxicated by his sankirtan movement. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling him drunkard, also ate fruit and began to dance, saying, "Very good, very good." After describing Lord's distribution of fruit of love of Godhead, I now wish to describe different branches of the tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sanatan, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki
jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Yathayur Premanam. So I thought that was appropriate. For the occasion when so many souls are about to accept this order of Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. I'm also reminded of myself getting such order in Vrindavan, in month of Kartik, soon after Govardhana Puja festival, 17 years ago, in temple of Radha Damodar, next to Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, receiving such order directly from Srila Prabhupada, and also getting name and beads. I was Raghunath Prabhupada, said, "You are Lokanath, chant 16 rounds daily. What are the four rules?" I said them. So I remember that occasion. Prabhupada was personally presiding, and I did not imagine then that one day I would be trying to give similar order on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. It was our misfortune that Srila Prabhupada left us too early while we were just children. I was only 5 years old spiritually when Prabhupada left me. And others were as a 10 years old. No one was older than a dozen years old. So Prabhupada left this very big responsibility on the shoulders of his followers while they were quite young and immature also. So because it is order, there's no choice. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, they're trying to carry on his mission by passing on this order to some more persons. It is a matter of great pleasure for reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very much pleased when he sees conditioned souls taking to chanting and dancing, and that will becoming gradually mad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally brought this love of Godhead in the form of his holy name. He distributed and he invited everyone, please come, help me. I'm only one gardener. How many fruits could I pick? How many could I distribute? How many could I eat alone? I need help. Please come forward. Please come forward. Make me famous as a pious man. Because if you distribute these fruits, I'm the gardener, they belong to me. Naturally I'll become very famous as magnanimous person, charitable person. So this is the appeal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those who are accepting the first initiation, they will be taking this order. They have been carrying this order already, but now it is official. Now you have made up your mind. To begin with, you are trying whether we could do this, maybe we could be part of this mission. You are just trying, but now, after relishing the bliss, the nectar, life free from anxiety, you are committing to this occupation. Our occupation as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to distribute love of Godhead to the conditioned souls all over the world. At least on this planet, world is very big. India is not the whole world. World is bigger than India. But the world is also much bigger than this planet. But we could at least try to distribute love of Godhead on this planet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples are already doing this. Now, some more persons are joining this mission. We welcome you to take up this mission and just be happy with this mission. Hare Krishna, just a question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that when he descends from the spiritual sky, he brings gift for everyone here in the material world, that when we go to the temple, we would like to bring some gift, some offering. We don't like to go empty-handed. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting this universe, visiting this planet, he also did not want to come empty-handed. He came with some gift, came with the fruit of love of Godhead, and that is this Harinam. Golokero prema dhan Harinam sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this gift of the holy name directly from Golok. So those who are receiving the Harinam initiation, they are getting this gift, Harinam gift, which is not the gift of this world. This has not come from Delhi or Calcutta or New York or Los Angeles. This gift has been brought by Mahaprabhu directly from Golok Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This vibration is not from this world. Ho and Re and Kri and Shnau and Ra and Mo, all these letters and words sounds like from this world, but this is not from this world. There's no one in this world who you could call Krishna. There's no one here who is Krishna in this world. There's no one called Ram in this world. If you want to meet someone who is called Krishna and Rama, they belong to the spiritual world. They are in the spiritual sky. So Krishna or Rama and Hare as Radha, Alhadani, spiritual potency, pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. Radha, there's no one, no Radha in this material world. No Krishna, no Ram in this material world. They all come from Golok, they all come from Vaikuntha. So this combination of these names, 16 spiritual worlds, this is not a product of this matter. So this has potency. His holy name has potency to liberate all of us. Hare Namaiva Kevalam, only way. So what has bound us in this material world is actually sound vibration. In the beginning there was word, Shabda Sparsha Roop Ras Gandh. There are five sense objects. The first one is Shabda, the sound. In the beginning there was a sound. Shabda Sparsha, then comes touch. Shabda Sparsha Roop, then comes form. Then comes Ras, the taste. Then comes Gandh, the smell. Shabda Sparsha Roop Ras Gandh. So in the beginning there was a sound, material sound. Of course that has also come from the Lord. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. Everything goes from me. So this sound, Shabdaha Ke, in the 10th chapter of the sky, 7th chapter. And so to begin with there's sound and then other things come into being, and this whole, all these sense objects become cause of the bondage. Sound is binding, and then touch is binding, Shabda Sparsha Roop, the form is binding, we see with the eyes. Gandh, ras, the taste, tongue is binding us, and the smell also is binding. But in the very beginning, before any other sense objects come into existence, in the beginning there is a sound. Sound becomes the cause of all other bondages. So in the sound, there's only sky. In shabda, sparsha, and touch, there's sky and air. Shabda, sparsha, roop. In the form, there's a sky, air, and fire. Shabda, sparsha, roop, ras. One more thing is added, and that is water. This is how things are also produced. In this sequence, material elements are produced. In the beginning there is sky, and then there is an air, then there is a fire, then there is a water, and then there is an earth. The earth has all the five sense objects. Water has only four sense objects. The fire has only three sense objects. The air has only two sense objects. And the sky has only one sense object. Shabda, the sound. So the whole material creation, which is a product of different sense objects, it has origin in sound. Everything originates from the sound, shabda. See, if that is a root cause of our bondage, if shabda, the sound, is root cause of our bondage, which is material, what is binding us is material. The conditioning is because of the material. Matter is binding the spirit. So if you want to counteract this bondage, which has origin in sound, then we come with a weapon, another weapon in the form of sound, or spiritual sound. Try to understand? Are you understanding this? Some of our BI members are all graduates. Everyone is understanding? Argentinian, everyone. No one is illiterate. This has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam elaborately. So just try to understand how sound is the cause of bondage, material sound. And from that, other bondages. So to become free, so we go to the root cause of the bondage and try to hit there. So that is why it says Harer Naam, Naam, the sound, the holy name. So we attack this bondage, someone, something that has bound us, we try to attack that with what? The loud bang on the holy name, loud chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the philosophical basis of this chanting. It's not just baseless, or it's not just entertainment, it's not just frivolous activity, even children chanting. We are big scholars, so we don't have to chant. Or we'll go for something more serious process than this chanting. Even ladies all over Vrindavan are going around, old ladies are chanting. But we are from Delhi, or we are from Durban, South Africa, so we better find some process that is not common. What is some big thing? Your ladies, old ladies, illiterate ladies are chanting. So should someone from America or from somewhere, highly educated, should he also do the same thing which old ladies are doing? Illiterate ladies are doing, someone may think, why should I don't, everyone is doing it, children are doing this. Even Vishwambar Singh, he doesn't even know reading, writing, what he's chanting. Rhyme, I'm a scholar, I'm rich, I'm foreigner, or whatever. I would better find some more difficult, more complex process. But that is, you're entering illusion. analysis is very simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very simplest. So we should get convinced like that, develop faith like that in chanting, and take the chanting very, very seriously. And then you will be very sharp instruments, weapons, in hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, which could be used to cut bondages of the people and liberate them. And that is the topmost welfare activity. More than any other charitable work, his most magnanimous thing to do is to distribute Krishna consciousness, distribute the holy name, distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, which are glorifying the holy name. So, anyway, we are not assigning any duties right now, or changing any duties right here. But basically, if you chant Hare Krishna, you feel like serving Krishna, doing something for Krishna. And that in fact is the purpose of chanting. In chant, while you are chanting, you are begging, Prabhupada explained to us. You are begging Krishna and Radha, energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. Oh Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please engage me, please engage me. So, if you chant sincerely, then you should expect some service. If you don't chant sincerely, service will not come in your direction. If you are chanting but you are not getting service, you are not seeing service, that means there is something wrong with your chanting. There is offensive chanting. So, we would like our followers not only to chant, but natural product, sequence is that there will be lots of service for you to do. Sankirtan, in so many different forms, that you have to perform very enthusiastically. So we are giving you holy name. So chant, the service would be there, perform lots of service, and you will be pleased, your life will be sublime. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta, or Srila Prabhupada is not here, but the holy name is here. It has been delivered in the disciplic succession which you are receiving today. So please accept this holy name, and you will be taking vow very soon of chanting 16 rounds daily, and also following 4 regulative principles. Unless you follow regulative principles, you will not get full benefit. Besides following 4 regulative principles, everyone, in a formal way, we normally go over the 10 offenses, and we will do that now also. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees, big and small. You may say, I don't blaspheme Prabhupada, but I can blaspheme the tiny devotees. No. Any devotee and every devotee who is engaged in propagation of Krishna consciousness, don't blaspheme him. Yeah. Second offense is to consider names of demigods, like Brahma, Shiva, to be equal to or independent of name of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature of the first ones of the Vedic version. Fifth offense is to consider the glories of holy name to be imaginary. Sixth offense is to give some mundane interpretation on chanting of the holy name. Seventh offense, important one, is to commit sin on the strength of the holy name. Eighth offense is to consider chanting is one of the auspicious for spiritualistic activity, something. Ritualistic activity mentioned in karma card section of the Vedas. My defense is to preach to the faithless. Tenth defense is not to have complete faith in chanting and maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions of the subject matter. And very important offense, which is not to be committed but to be avoided, is to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. I would like everyone, I'm also trying, but I at least have right to ask my disciples to work on this, to avoid being inattentive. This is a very serious offense. Jivanand Prabhu just a few days ago also threw some light on this topic. And I've been thinking about it. We are not doing our chanting properly. It's not attentive. So, I have talked about it before some places. I would like to talk more about this. Chanting attentively. All over the world, our devotees, I don't want to be offensive. We are not attentive enough in chanting our rounds, chanting the holy name. This is a big offense. So, try to improve. So, those who are claiming we are attentive Vaishnavas, who does avoid this state of offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired goal of life, which is, what is the goal of life?
Krishna prema.
Yes, Markata, what is the goal of life? Krishna prema is the life. Focus your mind on the goal of life. So we together will try to achieve that goal of life, which is Krishna prema. Prabhupada is there to help us. Said, Prabhupada is your grand spiritual master. Grandfather is more merciful than the father sometimes. There's some understanding like that. Even though Prabhupada is not present physically, he is with us in spirit, and he will be very pleased. He's very pleased with you today. Today's business place of Radharani, so she must be very happy also to see you, very anxious to serve Krishna. Then we have three devotees taking second initiation. Brahmin initiation. Prabhupada established this whole movement to produce Brahmins. Brahmin is learned person, knowledgeable person. In 18th chapter, verse 42, Shamaha Damaha Tapaha Saushampi, the qualities have been described. So, see whether you have these qualities. If you are lacking, try to develop those qualities. Those are becoming Brahmins. Understanding of scriptures is important for the Brahmins because they have to preach the truth. Adhyayan, adhyapan, patan, patan, yajan, yajan. These are some of the activities of the Brahmanas. So as you take this Brahmin initiation, Gayatri mantra, and you become eligible to get closer to the Lord and worship them, to address them, to make offering. But don't remain just a worshipper of the deities. Of course, that is your duty. Yes. Chaitanya Chandra, Das Brahmachari from Pandharpur, becoming Brahmin today. Otherwise, then we have Bhakti Bihari Mataji, who resides in Vrindavan for the last several years. She's taking second initiation. And Prashanta, friends. Actually, yesterday morning also taking second initiation. You already have some knowledge. Prabhupada wanted us to take some tests which we are not instituting, forcing that so much, but we have seen they have some knowledge, but not enough. We would like them to acquire more knowledge and then distribute, preach, speak the truth. If you don't have knowledge, then you may be speaking, but you'll be not teaching, but cheating. Because naturally you'll be forced to speak something that you don't know. You'll be speculating and saying something less or incomplete or wrong. So, in that story of Ajamil, the point was made that if you're representing Yamaraj, you better know Yamaraj and his mission and his philosophy. Similarly, if you're representing someone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Prabhupada, we have to know what their mission is, what their philosophy is. So know it and make others know. So they'll be getting their mantras, we'll be separately dealing with them and confidentially utter the mantras into their ears. And so that happens later on, give them further instructions as they're taking this additional initiation. Also thank other devotees for participation. Now what we would like to do is call initiates one by one. They come, they offer their obeisances, try to say mantra loudly, the pranam mantra, and I'll be asking them what the four rules are, which I hope they know, you all know. And then I will give you the name, new name. And there's another obeisance. You go back to your seat. What if I don't have now? What can I say? Even there would be better. Let's have it all. Well, what are the four rules? We are following this. Okay. Yes?
Yes.
And this is Dr. Ramachandra, and you all know him very well. From South Africa. And last year he joined us in Brajamandal Parikrama. And during the year we had some meetings and correspondence. And he is back here again. And he's getting initiated, working with DR, Prabhupada, had a lot of faith and hopes from DR, Bhaktivedanta Institute. So Dr. Ramachandra has situated himself nicely, usefully in DR Bombay. So we are pleased with his performance. So would like you to attend 16 rounds daily. And your name is Radhakant. This is what is similar from Paris.